Estrada.
He's doing the bit again, guys. We've got the smoke machine and the Necronomicon back.
Klaatu, is it Virata or Barada? I can never quite. Oh, hey, sorry.
Hi, welcome to the show. we're back with another episode of Hail to the Deadites, and we have two very special guests that we're going to be talking with.
Yes. Should we bring them in?
Yeah, sure. We've got Selena and Paul from Bruce Fest here to chat with us.
Woo! About Bruce Fest,
which is March 24th, so just this weekend. So welcome to the show, you guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
How you guys doing today?
So good. It's a beautiful day.
Keeping busy, getting everything ready for Sunday, you know, final week of preparation.
But excited, pumped?
Yeah, totally. I'm really stoked on the stuff we have put together.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess for our listeners that don't know, can you tell us a little bit about Bruce Fest and what we can expect this weekend?
Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of background and then maybe Paul can give us what's coming up. So Bruce Fest, this will be our third incarnation, but the first two were in person at the Stanley Hotel outside of Denver. And what we specialize in is really bespoke and kind of more one-on-one experiences with Bruce and the Bruceverse. Bruce Campbell's universe, TM, than your normal cons. So we like to get a lot of interaction that you wouldn't be able to get on a different level. So what we had to do this year was to go to the virtual platform just for this iteration that's coming up this weekend. And we have a lot of fun stuff planned. And I'll let Paul tell you what that is.
Sure. Yeah. Well, so the exciting thing for me about this virtual one, well, two things, but Bruce is going to do sort of a master class on acting. It's Bruce. So it's, you know, schmacting. but he's also a really interesting actor. You watch movies like Bubba Hotep and things like that. And I just recently watched his performance as Reagan in season 2 of Fargo again. And he's a very interesting, subtle actor as well. So anyway, I'm excited to see what he has to say about acting. And we're going to be showing stuff that, you know, deep cut, some of which may not have been seen before. So and that's going to be moderated by Dana De Lorenzo, former guest of Hail to the Deadites. And so that is sort of the centerpiece of virtual Bruce Fest. That's really exciting. And then leading up to that, you'll be in sort of a virtual space where you can move into different rooms, and we're using a browser-based app called Spatial Chat that lets you interact with other participants. Like when you move your little icon close to them, you can talk to them. And then also within the rooms, there'll be different presenters. So there'll be the horror props, the Society for, they have a really long name.
HSCPA, Society. Yeah. We're not gonna say it wrong because we love them, but James has an amazing props collection of screen-used horror props. And they also preserve and restore. So they educate, preserve, and restore horror props, which is amazing.
That's right,
Dr. Justin Sledge from Esoterica, who was our guest last year as well. James was with us both years before. He has a podcast, or a YouTube channel, about actual books of the occult. So actual books made bound in flesh and actual Necronomicons and black. So he is very, very educated on all this. He's a professor. And so he has a little presentation and then you can talk to him. We have Shane Clark.
And also just to jump in real quick, he in the past has had, hundreds or thousands of years old occult books that you can purchase. They're not cheap because, they're pieces of history and they probably contain horrible power, but you can buy them.
Oh.
Yeah. He sells that stuff too.
I'm good on that.
You've already got your Necronomicon.
Yeah. I'll stick to the prop.
Yeah. If you get the real one though, you don't need a fog machine because it's actually like brimstone just appears. And then we have Shane Clark from the Delta 88. He has two screen used Delta 88s from Ash vs. the Evil Dead. And Stephen Scott, who is the writer for Bubba Hotep versus Army of Darkness, which is a comic series. So a lot of fun guests that you can walk around and talk to and get to know. And you can talk to other Bruce Fest fans as well.
Yeah. Thing. Oh, sorry to cut you off there.
But, nice.
One thing that we're really proud of is that our festival has sort of, we sort of have this growing community of people who have been to the first two Bruce Fests, who keep in touch outside of the festival. And it's kind of becoming like a summer camp thing where people can reunite with their friends and connect. So, you know, having that kind of a close community around the festival, and we're kind of part of it too. They sometimes let us in on the fun and we talk to them and we're making friends and stuff, cause we're also fans. So that to me is like one of the really special things about the festival that we're going to continue with the virtual one.
Totally. And I didn't forget, but I saved them for last because it's another podcast. Am I allowed to talk about
our friends? Yeah, of course.
Okay. Yeah. They're awesome. They're called Cult Talk Net. We love them. They have a whole Cult of Campbell podcast. They've been great supporters. Oh. And they have their own room as well. They're going to be running trivia. So it'll be like player versus player trivia. So bring your A game and attend their room. But I was like, this is another podcast. Am I going to get kicked out of this room?
No.
Okay. They're awesome. We love them.
And then the other aspect of virtual Bruce Fest, and the other aspect of Bruce Fest that we haven't touched on yet, is that we also have an immersive narrative that weaves through our festival. And so Selena and I met in the immersive theater scene here in LA, which, for listeners that might not be familiar with that kind of entertainment, it's basically some version of a live performance where you take a role in the performance and you interact with characters and things like that. Totally, you know, just kind of as yourself. But yeah, so I play a character named Bradley Smart, who's the president and CEO of S-Mart. And at the previous festivals, S-Mart was sponsoring the festival. They've since been fired by Bruce Campbell because it was revealed they were in league with the demons. And Bradley currently Bradley died. So at the virtual one, we're doing sort of the immersive add-on is kind of like a narrative puzzle experience that you can participate in through your browser that continues the ongoing story of the festival. We kind of evolve it with everyone.
Oh, wow. Awesome. So it sounds like really in-depth and intimate compared to like other opportunities fans would probably have to like meet and chat with Bruce Campbell, because I feel like, I know me personally, and I feel like most fans, like it's like, you know, to go to the convention and it's like you pay a few bucks to like get an autograph, or you might go to a photo op, or you might go to like a panel and ask a few questions. But this sounds like a much more intimate gathering where you get to spend more time with Bruce and other people in relation to Bruce and whatnot.
Yeah. And the in-person ones in the past, you get more one-on-one time with Bruce per se. I mean, I won't say one-on-one. For example, the first year we had a cocktail hour and into a small room, five at a time. It turns out Bruce is your bartender, so he was like making drinks and making small talk. So it's one on five, but still, that's not an experience you get. And then last year we had Ted Rainey join us, and him and Bruce served you cocktails, appetizers. So there was like an appetizer hour, and they were like, please don't talk to the wait staff. Don't look at them. Like, we kind of prepped it. Like, don't take pictures with the wait staff. They don't like it. And it turned out to be Bruce and Ted.
That's funny.
Running around with canapes. So.
And a lot of these are Bruce's idea, you know, like
Part
of, with Ted, we found out that he was really into board games. So we had like a board game lounge with him. So that's not just intimate experiences, but also, you know, we really encourage these stars to sort of, we want to follow their lead on what kind of experiences they want to create, what they're interested in, things like that. And, you know, so that also creates like a really fun connection.
So for this one, we are not doing so much stuff with Bruce as we would. He's going to do a master acting class, which he's never done. But the interactions are still going to be a normal Q&A process. But the virtual aspect allows you to interact with this Bruce Fest universe that we've kind of helped build over the years. And again, like Paul said, I remember when we were first building this, I was like, if we just get a small group of people that we all love the same thing, we all love Bruce, and then we can all be friends, that will be five people. Turns out there's like a Discord with a bunch of people on it that talk all the time, which just makes my heart explode with joy. So
I think you join.
Let's bring everybody into the fold.
Well, it's funny you say that, because that was actually one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys, which was how, it's like a two-parter. It's how did you guys get into the entertainment industry specifically? And then how did that evolve / snowball into the creation of Bruce Fest?
Oh, big question. Paul, you want to go first or me?
Okay, how did I get into the entertainment industry? I'm still not sure if I'm in the entertainment industry, to be totally honest with you. I guess, so I am from Alaska originally, Anchorage, Alaska. And so I'd always done theater and then film up there. And I guess the first time I was technically in the industry was around 2011, 2010, 2011. We had a tax incentive program up there that brought productions up. And to get the tax incentives, they had to have a certain percentage of local hires. So as somebody who was already doing sort of like independent film in Alaska, which was pretty small scale, as you might imagine, I was well positioned to start getting those jobs. So I started getting jobs doing all kinds of support stuff on productions that would come up of all sizes. Like the biggest one was Big Miracle, the Drew Barrymore movie about the whales. But a lot of it was like, reality. Yeah, no, Google it. It's actually a pretty good movie and really interesting.
Like, I think I remember hearing about that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it happened in the 80s. These gray whales got trapped in the ice, and the US and Russia had to make peace after the Cold War to help the whales. A really interesting story. Wow. So anyway, I got a lot of production work through that. And then I came down here for film school, and I have been sort of in and out of the industry, I guess is what it feels like. Sometimes I get jobs and sometimes I can't, you know.
That's just being in the industry.
Right. That's just, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're in the industry.
Wow. Cool. Thanks.
My path was a bit more circuitous. I've been dancing. Just follow me here. I've been dancing since I was 5. So my career started when I left school. I was actually a marine biology major, sort of environmental studies, marine biology, whale connection. Went to go to grad school when I got jobs dancing, like at Walt Disney World. And I eventually toured with the national tour of The Lion King for 8.5 years as a dancer. So I guess how I got into entertainment was like Dolly Dingle ballet class when I was 5, you know, into a dance career, into moving to LA to be in film. But the last job I did was I danced at a show at the Hollywood Bowl. And the production company was putting that on, needed an assistant. So I was like, I'll assist. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm here to do film. But I love live events. I've always done live events as a dancer. So I started working there, moved up from assistant to producer to director. And recently, we're still sister companies with them. We work a lot with them. But we started our own company, Miko Mia Productions. And we do live events. And I'm finally now doing commercial work and trying to do more short form. And we've done a bunch of documentaries. So I kind of get to straddle the live and film area. So that's kind of a long answer of I've been really lucky to be in entertainment for a very, very long time. And I know there was a second part, but I don't remember it because I'm a goldfish.
No worries. The second half of the question for both of you was, how did your journey getting into the entertainment industry eventually lead to the creation of Bruce Fest?
Oh, yes. So that first company I was talking about, Bruce Fest, Black Ink, works with Bruce's agent. So Bruce's agent, really creative guy, came to us and was like, can we do something with this property? And they-
My guess is, right?
Name. Yeah, they're like, do you know Bruce Campbell? And I was like, Briscoe County? Yes, I do. So I immediately was like, I'm doing this. I want this. I'm doing this one. So we reverse engineered it. And I remember reaching out to Paul. Do you want to tell the story of how you got involved in Bruce Fest?
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting because I really like the way that you framed that question, Chris. How did your journey getting into the industry lead to Bruce Fest? I mean, I think that's such an important thing to talk about for anybody who's trying to get into the industry because it's so hard and there's so many ways. And so to answer that specifically, one thing that I learned over years and years and years of bashing my head against the wall is that the best, absolute best thing you can do is to find cool people to work with. So Selena, right, who I had met doing immersive work and we kind of, you know, we clicked creatively and she brought me in on projects. And then what you do is you keep your eyes open for a project that you're genuinely super passionate about, right? So Selena one day was just casually like, oh, hey, I might be doing this Bruce Campbell thing. Do you care about Bruce Campbell? And, you know, I saw Army of Darkness when I was, you know, like 12. It's like Bruce Campbell, Harrison Ford, Ted Danson would be my three heroes, you know? And so I was immediately like, yes, I love Bruce Campbell. It was going to be in Colorado. I have an aunt who lives about a half hour from Estes Park where the festival was going to be. So I was like, look, I'll come out. I'll work for free. I'll help out in any way. I'll be a runner. I'll be a PA. I just want to be there. You know, anything you need, I'm there for. I'll drive to my aunt's house. I'll crash at my aunt's house. And then, of course, they hired me and put me up in a hotel and stuff. But like that willingness is what, you know, that's how I got involved, by just like caring a lot and, you know, having a good working relationship with Selena. And be, you know, but really, you, I, so to like, I guess, get at the larger question you asked of like, it's so important to lead with your passion, find projects that you're passionate about, and then really just follow that, you know?
I totally get that. Cause it reminds me of how like G and I ended up getting onto this podcast. It was as simple as, these two guys that made the documentary Hail to the Deadites, Stephen Martin, I don't even remember how I ended up befriending them online, but like with me, I don't know what it is they saw, but they were like, hey man, we know you're an Evil Dead fan and we really like the sound of your voice. Would you be interested in doing a podcast for us for Evil Dead? And I was like, duh, yeah, absolutely. And then, G, how did they reach out to you?
They did a trivia contest and the winner would interview them and see if they wanted to host the podcast. And so I won the trivia and then they interviewed me and I think you were on the call too. And and then got doing this and stuff. So it's cool to talk about my favorite movies and stuff.
So cool. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the trivia room then that the cult talk guys are running. Cause
definitely I will go do a few rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like you'll probably be a strong contender too.
Probably win. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if Ash is in there. It could be.
That's true.
Could be a stiff competition.
There's some fans that really know their trivia. We learned that the first year. We have an app when you're in person at our festival, and we put trivia up there. And like, I actually remember talking to Bruce. Like, I was like, "Man, what's like your favorite movie? Like your own personal favorite movie?" It was like some Bay of.
I think it's Bridge on the River Kwai.
It is Bridge on the River Kwai. So I put that in the trivia. And this person was like, that's not his favorite movie. You see, on IMDb, it says da da da. And I was like, I literally heard it. I was talking to Bruce about
the participant had a source. I mean, there was some interview from like 15 years ago where he said something else was his favorite movie. Because, you know, any human being, if you ask them what their favorite movie is, it'll change every, you know.
It'll change, yeah.
Exactly.
So, we were like, man.
And I was like, I didn't really research it. I just asked him, you know.
we realized we got to be careful with this trivia.
Some fans they're rabid and whatnot. But you could have schooled them being like, well, Bruce himself told me, and it's in his books, and he mentions it in panels. So
the judge in me, the trivia judge in me, says not a wrong answer, neither answer is wrong. So it's like, well, I guess it's a question with more than one right answer. We just didn't know that, you know.
Points awarded, because we also had like a point system on the app, so we gamify much of the experience, especially on site. So there's this back end contest that they're playing. You get assigned, the first year it was the mini chainsaw that we cut the red ribbon with.
And killed a deadite with. He killed a deadite with that chainsaw during the immersive scene. Yeah.
Bruce did kill someone with that, which is pretty cool. So, and then the second year they won something else. So people are cutthroat on this app. Like they're like, well, she got a point for this and I need a point for this. And I was like, oh boy, I need to really come correct with this.
So I know you guys had mentioned there's like an immersive aspect to Bruce Fest. So this will be a two-parter question. So the first part is, what is sort of the story so far for Bruce Fest? Like what can people expect to see this year?
Paul.
Well, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll try to do like a quick synopsis of the story so far. And anybody who's interested in learning more can go to our website, brucefest.co. And up in the upper right corner, you'll see a tab called The Story So Far, which will catch you up. So leading into this year, where we're at is the first year that we did Bruce Fest, it was being sponsored by S-Mart, and the president and CEO, Bradley Smart, was on site hosting. And he was a really affable guy and people liked him. But over the course of the weekend, there started being some strange problems with our app, you know, weird scheduling issues, and it became clear that we were being hacked. And so it turned out that the person behind this was a man named Chester Eccles, who had a counter narrative. He was saying that there was something dark and about S-Mart. There was some kind of conspiracy, and he was pointing to a history of violent occurrences in S-Mart stores. So what we found out at the end of that weekend was that Bradley Smart, president and CEO, was indeed in league with the demons. And this became clear when demons attacked the hotel and participants had to work with Bruce Campbell to fend them off. So that was our first year. So then going into the second year, S-Mart managed to bury that. And Bradley Smart was back on site the following year. And this time, though, there was something wrong with him. And it turned out that he was having second thoughts about being evil. And so the S-Mart board was acting to remove him from his position. And he was possessed, and the participants helped him get clear of his possession. But at the end of the weekend, his brother showed up, S-Mart's CFO, Randall Smart, played by Ted Raimi, and banished Bradley into a portal. And that was the last time we've seen him. So now going into this year, S-Mart is no longer a sponsor of the fest. Bruce fired them after 22 because they were in league with the demons, but they're still up to their old tricks. They have a new CEO, Tamara Pierce, and you know, Bradley is dead, which has recently been announced. And so that's where we're at going into this year. This year's immersive component, I can say what the immersive is, right? Just the premise, Selena?
We've
announced it publicly. So participants in the immersive component this year are going to be onboarded into S-Mart's brand ambassador program, which tasks you with representing the brand and possibly other things, but we're not sure. We think they might be up to no good. And you'll attend an online brand ambassador training seminar with S-Mart.
Interesting.
Cool. That's the setup. And then, you know, it's S-Mart. So, you know, crazy things might happen.
Mm-hmm. And my second part to the question is, what was the inspiration behind having this immersive experience? Because normally you don't like go to a convention and there's like Bruce Campbell's not fighting deadites at like San Diego Comic-Con or anything. So like what's the backstory to having this like immersive part of the festival?
Why not have Bruce Campbell fight? You know, like every experience should be. No, to be totally honest, I am not a big con goer. So when I'm developing this, I'm like, I know tangentially that these experiences are out there. You go sign a picture, sign something, you take a picture, you go to all these booths. That sounds super fun. But I come from theater, obviously, with my background, but I love interactive and immersive theater. And I think that's the cutting edge of entertainment. And I think that's where everything's going. So when they gave me this festival to direct, I was like, I have to bring something more into it, something that really engages us so that you can live in these worlds that Bruce helps build for more than even just a weekend. You can live it outside. You have the storyline that's ongoing. It's 3 years old now, this narrative. So I think the idea as a creator of engaging people in a more deep way with the IP, with the characters, with the universe is really compelling, because isn't that what we all want to do? Like, we all want to be able to experience like what it's like to be in these movies. Maybe not the whole dangerous being possessed, like not actually dealing with the scary, but feeling what that's like, getting to be the hero next to your hero, you know? So that was really exciting to me. And I'm really lucky that I found a co-creator with Paul in that he understands narrative storytelling, how to weave it together so well and make it interactive and immersive, and is passionate about it like I am. So I think it's been this perfect storm of a supportive group behind us and then also finding a person to build that with us. So I feel really, really passionate and lucky to be able to build that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I feel very fortunate to be working with Selena. We're just going to start complimenting each other
right now.
But, you know, I mean, for all the same reasons. And it's just, it's such an amazing treat to be able to be, you know, telling these stories and in this world that I love so much. And even now playing a character that, you know, has in the past, I don't know, been a couple people had really cool interactions with Bradley at the previous Bruce Fests. And I don't know, it's just a real gift. I'm kind of rambling because I'm like emotional. So I'll just button it up.
No,
right,
but
now.
It's true. Like, when you see the best encapsulation of this, I think that took it beyond just never knocking a con or the signings and the, we do that too. Like, we absolutely do that because that's fun. Bruce likes doing that too. But someone wrote an article, his name's Neil. He wrote it for Bloody Disgusting or something. He came to our last one and he said, Bruce Fest, he interviewed our immersive characters in character, like went through the immersive storyline. You got to break into Bradley's hotel room and find something. And he did the whole thing and he encapsulated it. He said, this is the place for the weirdos, the outsiders, the outliers to come and feel like you're safe and at home and welcomed and accepted. And I burst into tears when I read that because that's just beyond, you know, every creator wants to do that. I would hope people want to create that space for everybody. And so I'm so proud of us and our team that at least one person had that experience. I'm hoping more people just kneel, but that's what we want to foster is like, you love something, you love it so much. Like we do. Great. Let's go play. Let's go live in that universe for as long as we can.
That's awesome. Because like I've heard about Bruce Fest, like the past couple of years. I remember hearing about it when it was first announced. I was like, this sounds absolutely incredible. So you guys have been crushing it since like the first one, for whatever. Like I constantly hear stories from people who've attended about how amazing it's been and how like it's changed their lives or how it's been like the highlight of their experiences of like getting to meet celebrities at an event and meet like-minded fans and whatnot. So like you guys have been doing some amazing work from what I've heard. So you guys should be very proud.
You're gonna make
thank you so much. That's really nice to hear. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we really, I mean, both of us being on site, you know, we have made personal connections with a lot of the participants. And, you know, the second year, there's a lot of people we recognize from the first year. We met a bunch of new people. And so whenever we're working on this stuff, that's where it's like, it's not just planning an event. It's also we're sort of creating an experience for people that we know and like.
We know our friends are going to be into.
and so that's it's really meaningful to hear that you have heard that stuff. Because I don't know. We're in a bubble, I guess, on the creator end. So it's nice to know that people are out there enjoying it, you know? it's always nice to hear that.
I've heard stuff on Facebook, Discord, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, like all the socials. I've seen people posting about Bruce Fest, gushing like a deadite that just got stabbed by Ashley Chainsaw over how amazing Bruce Fest has been. And
Thank you. That means a lot.
Like I'm really excited for what you guys have done, and like I haven't been able to participate in the past ones, but I think it's great that you guys are doing a virtual one, because now most people who didn't have the opportunity to do the in-person ones in Colorado can participate online and whatnot. And I was curious, in terms of the past iterations, how did the idea of doing it at the Stanley Hotel come about versus the decision now to do it virtually? And then I think the other half of that question is, are you going to do it virtually again in the future, or are there plans to bring it back in person somewhere?
Great questions, all parts. The first year we were partnered with a huge company called AEG. They're like Live Nation AEG. So they were booking out the Stanley. So when they talked to us, they're like, here's every venue in the country. It's amazing. And I was like, well, the Stanley, like, it's so cool. It's hard. we're going to go there. So the first 2 years, we worked with AEG and then a subsidiary of another company that's associated with that. And then this year, to be frank, Bruce traveled a lot last year. He did Bruce-a-rama. He did a lot of appearances. This year, he's working on a project, so he's not traveling as much. So at fall of last year, we were getting all these messages like, when's Bruce Fest coming? When is it? And I was like, it's not. It can't. So we started talking to Bruce. We're like, we got to do something, man. Like, we have to keep, you know, our friends and family, you know, close. So we were like, what if we do something virtual? Will you be down with that? He's like, yeah, sure. So he doesn't have to leave and he gets to do something virtually. So really, it's so dependent on his schedule. You know, he's in demand, he's in Hallmark movies, he's in Marvel movies, like the TV shows.
Busy guy.
Yeah, he's busy. So it's Bruce Fest. So we are beholden to Bruce's schedule. of course, I want to do in person. I would love to be in person. That's like the heart and soul of what we do. But it is up to the big man himself as to when and where he has the time to fit that in. So
that makes total sense. So
That said, I think I can say that, you know, moving forward, we're doing this one virtually to sort of keep the story going, keep the community connected. But our goal moving into the future is to find a way to do this in person again. That's what we've been working toward. So we don't want this to just transition into just a virtual event. That said, I don't want to say just, because actually the virtual thing is turning out to offer a lot of interesting opportunities that aren't actually available in person. Like the immersive thing that we're doing, we literally wouldn't be able to do at an in-person festival.
Oh yeah.
So I also don't know that we'd totally leave the virtual thing behind. It offers some interesting possibilities. So I don't know.
But I just sold the ticket to someone in Italy. So it opens up like the world too.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, because that's something that we heard from a lot of people on socials and stuff like that when we did the first two, is like, oh, this looks awesome, but I can't travel to Colorado, you know.
Yeah.
Don't have the funds, don't have the time, whatever. So that is a really cool thing about a virtual one, is that you can do it from your living room. So it makes it much more accessible to anybody, even people overseas and things like that.
Yeah, it does seem like you guys have a lot of cool stuff. Like from what you guys have told us and from what's been shared online, I really like the fact that you guys have figured out a way to bring a lot of the same experiences that fans have had in person at past iterations in the virtual space as well. And I just think that's really cool and unique. And it's like, who's to say in the future you can't combine both?
Exactly.
And same go.
So, 100%. Totally. Yeah, we want this to feel as much as it can be into the in-person vibe, but as you can tell, it's all about the people. Like,
yeah,
a quote from, which is, this is so my dad's quote. It's from Wavy Gravy. He says, how does magic work? And instead of it's all mirrors, he says, it's all people. Our fest is about people. It's about people that love what we love. So all we have to do is be like, blow the whistle. We're all hanging out over here and everyone's welcome. You know, that kind of makes the magic. So we're trying to deliver as much as we can to that, but it's all about y'all and us.
The community.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so great. Speaking of like, I don't know, just like memories of the convention and stuff and like what's to come, what's been your favorite memory of Bruce Fest so far? And if you have more than one, feel free to share as many as you want.
Selena's face.
So hard. It's like it's like my baby. Like, it sounds weird. I had an actual human baby last year. I was pregnant at the last Bruce Fest, and now she's human. But this is so my baby that it's like that would be so hard. Maybe Paul's idea will trigger my idea.
Yeah. Well, so there's two that jump to mind. But then I'm like, wait, no, there's more than two. There's so many. I mean, the obvious one is like, I got to, you know, work with Bruce Campbell on stuff. I mean, that's amazing. He's awesome. He's super giving to his fans and he is a legitimately like really good guy, you know? And so, you know, they say never meet your heroes, but like getting to work with him and then also finding out like, oh, you know, he is cool. Like that was amazing, you know? And then I think that, also, as it's just like the stuff that we've been doing with the immersive component is for me, you know, super interesting and really like creatively exciting to explore. And there was one particular interaction that happened, which I'll share. It might, if you guys want to hear the story, that is just like to me. So we had the thing during the second year where there was something wrong with Bradley, my character, and people had to break into his hotel room to sleuth around and find out what was going on. Right. And we had the hotel room wired with cameras and stuff so we could see what was going on in there. And so we could know if we needed to reset stuff. And we had stage managers offsite like monitoring it. And one of the participants, when she was in there, left her purse in the hotel room. And, you know, I don't remember how we found out about it, but we were like, oh,
she messaged us.
Like,
and my wallet's in there.
Yeah. And so, and the way we had it set up is it was just kind of like participants would go to the clerk at the Stanley and like give him a code word and then they would get the key to Bradley.
We went to the Delta 88 guy, had to say the code word that you figured out from the puzzle in the app.
Right.
So the right code so, word, he would slip you the key and be like, get in and get out.
So right, right.
Go while so, Bradley was away.
Right, yeah. Very and so... So it was this like window of time where people would be going into the hotel room to investigate. And so at first, cause she had already like returned the key or whatever. So at first we were like, oh, okay, I guess we'll just have to. And then we realized like, wait, no, if people are just searching this hotel room and they find this purse, they're going to think it's part of the game and they're just going to start rooting through her purse. We can't do that. And I was like, crap. I was like, and I happened to be really close. So I was like, oh, I'll just go get it. So I was like in character, you know, as Bradley. So I went back to the hotel room right in the middle of all this as people were breaking in. So it just wound up being this hilarious thing where I get there and like, as I'm walking up to the hotel room, the participant has come back looking for her purse. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing here? You know? And she's like, oh, I don't know. And then she has to like make up a cover story. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So I go in the hotel room and like, I think I got the purse and like hid it in my jacket. And then I came back out. And there were two other participants coming down the hall to go into the hotel room that saw me coming out and then had to like, I was like, oh, what are you guys doing up here? Are you on this floor too? And they had to make up a cover story. And then I looked and there was somebody else like peeking around the corner and hiding, you know? And then later I went and I found the participant whose purse it was. And I was like, you know, I just walked up and ominously, I was like, here, I think you left this somewhere. I was like, we're going to have to talk about this later or whatever. So, you know, it was just really fun, really exciting. Everybody was so on board. And also it was just sort of these emergent story moments that happened. And that's the magic of like immersive theater, you know, mm-hmm. And that was just such a great example of how that manifested at our festival in a way that was just really exciting as an actor and as a creator. And I think the participants enjoyed it too. So,
yeah. Well, in the chat later, they were like, Bradley almost caught me. Like they were, you know, it's a bit LARPing-esque, but it's like, you're yourself. Yeah. You're just in this universe. And when you buy in and play the game and play with us, it's so fun. And I mean, a little secret in the sauce is that we're also building it in a way with reaction. So it's like we had to pivot to get this purse, but Paul's so good at what he does that we just did it in character, kept it in universe, kept her purse safe. She didn't lose any money. Great. But also like delivered an experience. So that I have to co-sign on both of those. I'm really proud of the immersive aspect that we brought this new, you know, kind of theatrical element to cons that maybe didn't exist before. I don't know, but we love it. And definitely working with Bruce. Like that is, I mean, that's gotta be why I was so excited. But when I got to direct him, cause we do these little vignette scenes of the immersive and he's a part of them because he's the hero.
Yeah.
So we're rehearsing the vignette scene at the murder mystery dinner that we did the first year. And I'm giving him notes cause Paul wrote it. I'm directing it. Like I'm noting things. Now I remember at one point, I'm giving him a note and I'm like, all right. And then you come around here and you're like, oh my God. And immediately he's like, oh my God. And I was like, oh, I'm like directing you. Like, I'm not even like what I'm saying. And you're just being a great actor and like taking the note. So when it hit me, I was directing Bruce Campbell. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to call my mom.
Yeah. I love that.
Were you
That's
guys,
awesome.
Were you guys fans of him like before starting this project? Like Paul, I know you mentioned you watched Army of Darkness, but like, what was sort of your introduction to Bruce? Like, on TV or in films or whatever?
Briscoe County Jr. I watched every week, every episode. Fox was like,
yeah,
Friday nights in Florida. Like I grew up on that show. Like I was such a big fan. I honestly didn't see Evil Dead until I was in college because I was like, he's the Briscoe County Jr. guy. Like that was, you know, so I'm kind of back. I'm probably backwards. Oh, and Xena. I saw him on Xena too. So I was like,
he's so good on Xena.
Yeah. So I was like, this guy's awesome. So that's my introduction to him.
Yeah. Mine was Army of Darkness. Just, you know, I was as so like when I was a kid, I wrote reviews of movies for my local newspaper.
Oh, wow.
Like, yeah. So
12 years old. It's so
yeah. Funny. I started doing that's it when cool. I started it when I was like nine and I did it until I was 15. And then they fired me because I wasn't a kid anymore. And also they were sending me to like G rated movies. And then I was like a cynical teenager being like, ah, Yellow Dog sucked, you know? So, but no, it was so like, it just came to, you know, I like adventure stories and, you know, time travel movies. And so I just went and saw Army of Darkness as a movie. Cause I, you know, and it was such a weird experience. I still remember, I think I was like 12 or 13 and I was like, I wasn't reviewing it. I just went to all the movies back then. And I was like, I walked out of it and it's maybe the first movie that I ever saw that I had this reaction to. I walked out of it and I was like, I don't know if I like that movie or not. Because, you know, Army of Darkness is out there. It's such a crazy movie. And then also, like, I was young and I was getting used to the idea of a protagonist who is such a huge asshole, you know? And so it stuck with me for days. I kept thinking about it and I kept thinking about stuff from the movie. And I was like, I think I did like that movie. So I called up my friend Bo and I was like, dude, we should go see this Army of Darkness. It's pretty good. And we went and saw it and he was like, that was stupid. But I walked out of the second screening being like, no, that I love that movie. That movie rules. And then, but I didn't know it was the third in a series, right? So like, jump forward a couple months. I'm in like, I think I was in my freshman year of high school. I was in like eighth grade or something. And my friend's like, oh yeah, no, that's part of a series. There's two movies before that. And I was like, what? And then because I was the movie review kid, my math teacher put me in charge of picking the movie for the end of semester party for my geometry or Algebra 1 class.
Oh my God.
And so I got Evil Dead 2.
Like, that's awesome.
And I showed it to to an eighth grade math class. That was my first experience watching Evil Dead 2. And I went to this kooky alternative school. So the teacher just kind of pretended not to notice and left the room at a certain point. And we watched that whole damn movie. And people were just screaming and laughing and like running around the classroom. I mean, total madness. It was the best. That's, and so then incredible. Yeah, that was my introduction to Bruce in the franchise and huge fan ever since.
That's amazing.
I love that.
We should interview that math class and be like, were you traumatized or did you love it?
Like, we should. Yeah, I think, well, I had a lot of friends in that class, so I think most people were having a good time. I think there were some people that like left, but also Evil Dead 2 is such a, as gory as it is, it's just such a funny movie that it's hard to be totally scared of it, you know.
It strikes that perfect balance of the horror and the humor.
Yeah.
Chris, I can't believe you're complimenting Army of Darkness.
I was talking about Evil Dead 2.
Oh.
I thought
you were complimenting Army of Darkness.
We were on Evil Dead 2, but are you less into AOD?
Gee, you see what you did.
I'm curious about this. Let's get into it.
Man. Dish.
Yeah.
I'll give you a snippet of my thoughts. I do like the movie. If I didn't, I wouldn't own any merchandise. I wouldn't own six copies of the film. But it is my least favorite entry. Just because I feel it strays a little too far from the feeling of Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2, but I do still like Army of Darkness. In fact, I almost wore my S-Mart shirt today. Ooh. I was trying to figure out which Evil Dead shirts to wear, and I almost wore my S-Mart shirt today. But I still like it. I also appreciate the incredible amount of hard work that went into making that film. There was a lot of hard work that went into making that film.
Yeah.
But my preferred entries are the other entries, but like I still like Army of Darkness.
No, I relate, dude. I think that you're right. I mean, it's not a horror movie. It's, you know, it's like a adventure movie with horror elements, but yeah, I don't know. I, the reason that I love Army of Darkness, it might be my favorite one, is just because it might be the most bizarre movie ever made. Like if you just it's so strange. Like if you just sort of like step back for a second, think about what they did. They made two successful Cabin in the Woods horror movies about demons. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, okay, the next one's going to be a medieval sword and sorcery epic with this asshole protagonist who's just talking shit to everyone the whole time. And it's going to be full of Three Stooges jokes.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, it's just insane what they did. I just love the insanity of that movie, you know?
Yeah. I'm glad it exists. Yeah,
it's a fun movie. No, I'm sorry. Were you going to say, Selena?
No, I'm glad it exists. And we still love you, Chris. Okay.
Despite it being my least favorite entry.
Well, hey, look, I mean, you know, preference is preference. Like we all love different things about this franchise, you know what I mean? I think that there's room for every perspective under this Evil Dead Hilda the Deadite Bruce fan tent, you know.
But yeah, I just want to set the record straight. I don't hate the movie. I do like it. Like I said, I own a lot of merchandise of it and whatnot. So
she threw you right under that bus, though. She's like, whoa.
Yeah, you did, G.
Well, it's just one. Like I don't know. I've seen Chris get in a couple spats with people over Army Darkness.
Whoa. Okay, to be fair, normally it's when there's a fan that is talking smack about entries post Army of Darkness. Like the TV series or the 2013 film or Rise, saying this doesn't feel like Evil Dead. And it's like, Army of Darkness is your favorite entry.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm like, you know, that's where I normally come from. But
yeah, I hear you. Well, you know, to me, this kind of conversation is one of the most interesting parts of fandom. Like, I'm just so fascinated with what the ways that the wildly different ways that fans respond to things, what they connect to, what they don't connect to. I'm just so interested in people's sort of views. And, you know, like and part of the reason that I love it so much is because it makes me appreciate things in new ways, to have these conversations and to hear what other people are responding to, you know?
Yeah. That actually reminds me of one of the questions I wanted to ask you guys. How did you guys come up with the idea of having the basis of the festival being centered on Evil Dead? Because it's called Bruce Fest, not Evil Dead Fest, but Evil Dead is like the main backdrop. Like, how come, Selena, you didn't think of it being more like, you know, a Briscoe County Jr. themed festival? Cool. Or Paul, for you, Army of Darkness specifically, even though I know like there's a lot of Army of Darkness elements to it, like S-Mart being one of the main things and whatnot, which I'm sure that must have been, since Army of Darkness is your favorite, it must have been really cool for you to be help create lore within kind of like the canon of the Evil Dead universe, playing a character that's from, you know, the S-Mart company.
Well, also, I was on a little bit of a mission. Selena should answer the larger question in a sec, but real quick on that, I was kind of on a mission, right? Because in Ash versus the Evil Dead, it's value stop, right?
And yes, so,
you know, I think Bruce or one of those guys randomly in a Q&A once suggested that maybe S-Mart had been bought out by value stop.
I remember that,
And so when we were trying to think of how to theme our marketplace at the first Bruce Fest, and I was like, well, what if it's sponsored by S-Mart? And that was what brought in the whole S-Mart element. But also, I as a fan, like, for our little corner of the chronology, I was able to work S-Mart back in, because like part of the backstory is that Bradley Smart got the rights to the franchise back from the Value Stop group and reopened the original flagship S-Mart.
That's awesome.
I was, because that always just kind of was like a little bit of a burr under my saddle, because you know that the only reason they did that was because at the time they made the first season, they didn't have the rights to Army of Darkness, I was like, S-Mart is such an iconic name, and there's the little like saying, the shop smart, shop S-Mart, like I really wanted to get that back. And since we're a live event, we don't really have to worry about rights, so
until we do. Anyway. So the idea is, so obviously it was Bruce's agent. It was centered around him. So it's a great question, like, why not other parts of the franchise? And I'm proud to say that we did Bubba Hotep. We did a watch with Bubba Hotep last year, which is my favorite, I think, of all his work, because I just ball every time I see it. But so I think we started in the Evil Dead universe because it was the easiest one to grip onto. But definitely, like, we pay homage to everything. So we did a big scavenger hunt on the in-persons, and you had to find a Hawaiian shirt in the restaurant, which was a Burn Notice reference, you know, or you had to find a cowboy hat in the other bar, and that was a Briscoe. So, like, we went through and did as many references to everything as possible throughout the rest of the fest. But I think the Watch With, which is the live DVD commentary, we started with Army of Darkness just because that's the one that people wanted to see the most. But now we're getting to venture into things people have never seen, because a lot of us have now seen a Watch With or know, you know, whatever, which doesn't diminish it, but this is exciting. Our new concept, these master classes, is because we're showing things that people have never seen. I mean, we have digitized 16 millimeters from when they're kids, and then he's talking about things we've never heard him talk about. Like, what's it like to get kissed and then slapped? What's it like to work with kids? What's it like to work with animals? What's your approach to this? It's, you know, like, we joke about it being a schmacting class, but he's a good actor, and every actor has a technique and an approach. So this is a new format that we're trying out at Virtual Bruce Fest, but I think it's going to work. He's really excited about it, because it's not just the same, you know, Sam kicked me down the stairs and I twisted my ankle in this part. Problem with that story. All those stories are great, but I think he's excited to tell the stories he hasn't gotten to tell all these years.
That's really cool.
I mean, I think that, you know, just to use maybe an overly simplistic metaphor. If you go see your favorite band in concert, you want to hear them play a couple of the hits and you mm-hmm. want to hear some deep cuts. And then the more times you go see them in concert, the more you're interested in the deep cuts and the B-sides. But you still like to hear the hits sometimes too. So that's kind of, I think, the sort of ethos driving the festival too and what we try to do with it.
That's a really good analogy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
Because I know, like, me personally, like, Bruce is my all-time favorite actor. And I've watched plenty of like interviews and panels, and I've met him a couple times, and I've been to the Q&As and whatnot. And it's like, I think both him and Ted have made the joke that has also been on my mind, which is constantly answering the same questions or like telling some of the same stories. So I think it is really cool that this is an opportunity where he's going to have to say some stuff he hasn't had a chance to say before about his work and whatnot to fans and whatnot. So I think that's a really cool, unique aspect that you guys have going on.
Thanks.
G, did you?
I'm out of questions.
Oh, you're
this was so good. You guys are ticking boxes on my question list and I wasn't even asking them. So like,
same, honestly.
Yeah.
I guess I could ask, what are your favorite Bruce projects? Like aside from what's already been mentioned, which is Army of Darkness and Briscoe County Jr., like top three favorite movies, shows he's been in, whether he's been the lead or, you know, the support or a cameo.
Bubba Hotep, hands down. I mean, I would watch it every couple of years just because it's just so good. It has so much heart and so good. And he's so good in it. Like he was really like, it's the first time I saw him like, oh, you're an actor. Like, you're doing this. I care about this character a lot. Not that I don't care about Ash, but it's like
right,
more fun. And then Briscoe County, because that's just like, I feel like my childhood when I watch it. Yeah. I really love that. And third, I don't know. Like, there's everything else is kind of third. No.
it's all tied.
We did a really funny supercut of all his cameos in Marvel films, and I found that hilarious. Like, if you combine all the times he just shows up in a Sam Raimi joint, I'm like, oh, that's funny. Like, you're used really. And we did the Papa Pizza gag when he was serving hors d'oeuvres. We had a chef create Papa Pizza balls, like, for
what?
Real.
What? Oh, pizza that's cool.
From Bruce Campbell. So that was pretty funny. When we put all the cameos together, I was like, oh, you're that's funny.
That's really cool.
Yeah. For me, I think Bubba, I would also say Bubba Hotep. And I mean, gosh, I'm kind of copying Selena, but yeah, I mean, it's like Bubba Hotep and Briscoe. I mean, I grew up on doing the like Briscoe X-Files thing for a while when they were playing on the same night, and that was like a huge part of my youth. I mean, it was such a small part, and maybe it was just like a recency bias because I just watched it like a couple of weeks ago, and it was only a scene or two. But his work as Reagan was next level in Fargo. I mean, and also, you know, and then the third thing that I'll say is stuff that I haven't seen yet, but like I'm really excited for some of the stuff he's got going on in this phase of his career. Yes. You know, there's this movie 18 and a half about the 18 and a half minutes that are missing from the Nixon tape, and he does the voice of Nixon on the tape. Mm-hmm. Right now, I haven't seen that yet, but based on seeing him play Elvis and Reagan, I'm sure it's an amazing Nixon, you know.
Yeah.
And then also, an upcoming project that we may have heard a whisper or two about is I'm very, very excited about.
Yeah,
his performance in that
Bruce is working on is really cool, and I have no idea what's published, so I apologize that I can't say anything
beyond that.
It's really, really going to be cool and different and exciting, and he's excited about it, which is so fun to see. So I'm really stoked about that. I think that's maybe a game changer. Honestly, it's going to be,
I know that's, I was like, when you asked the question, I was like, I know that's going to be one of my favorite Bruce Campbell roles. Little things I've heard. Yeah, no, so I don't know. Everybody out there, get excited about this random unnamed, unspecified thing. Sorry to
big booking that we suck.
I know. Sorry, it's just such a useless tease, but
I know.
Like, we can't tell you what it is, but we promise it's going to be good.
We can't tell you a single thing about it, but it's awesome.
Well, that just stirs up some excitement because, like, I remember I heard that he had upcoming projects that he's excited about, but like that's it. So like, this is the most I've heard about one of his upcoming projects that you know, you guys know about that's really exciting and, you know, it was going to be a game changer. And
I know he's pouring his heart and soul into it. And anything he does that with is
great.
So
and that's part of what's so exciting about it, to, you know, the idea of an actor and an artist whose work I love this much being this engaged in the next project and this excited about it is really exciting for me as a fan.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, do you guys have anything else you'd like to let our viewers know before we sign off on this interview? Any other stuff about Bruce Fest? I mean, we'll have all the links down in the description for getting tickets and stuff, but anything else you want to add?
We want our Bruce Fest family to grow as big as possible. So we'd love to come international someday. So, you know, like we should have like a mailing list or something. It's like, oh, there's a lot of people in Japan that really want this to happen. Like, let's bring it everywhere. And this virtual thing, like we want, you know, the crew to grow as big as possible. So everybody come play with us.
Yeah, and I second that. You know, just hop in. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on and doing this interview. It's been a blast.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much for having us. We're so honored.
Of course.
We really appreciate it. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah.
Awesome. We were more than happy to have you guys come on and chit-chat.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's going to be it for this episode of Hail to the Deadites. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Let us know down in the comments if you're heading to Bruce Fest this weekend on your computer. And we'll see you there, maybe. And yeah, that's going to be it for this episode of Hail to the Deadites. So thank you so much for watching.
Stay groovy. Bye.